Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where, in accordance with Oathbreaker Blake Woods' wishes, yeah, and some anonymous person who won't say that they also really like it when it's just Dave and I.
Well, who's that? You can tell me.
I don't know.
It's just you and me. You can tell me.
It's just us here. No, Blake, because Blake's like, I love the guest host, but sometimes I just want some Tyler and Dave. I was like, okay. So, like, we've done more with just you and I, but he's like, I'm not the only one who feels like this. Somebody else does too. And I was like, well, who did it? I'm sworn to secrecy. And I was like, okay, because, well, if you told me, I'd just give him shit anyway. So this is me. I don't know who you are, but this is me giving you shit, anonymous person.
It's Josh.
Talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I don't think I've told this story before because I'd kind of forgotten about it until the other night when I was at dinner and I brought it up and told the story and I was like, well, shit, I don't think I've talked about this before. But a number of, maybe it was 2 years ago, maybe more. And this is some health information about me.
Good. This is the new segment. Yeah. Tyler's checkup.
That whenever I, because, you know, when you feel when you have to go pee, and I would go pee, but I would still.
I feel when you have to go pee?
Yeah, we're linked like that. The feeling that you get when you have to go pee.
Yeah.
Even after I went to pee, I still had that feeling.
Oh, that's horrible.
So, like, I would be standing there, like, for minutes afterward, like, is there more? I still feel like I have to pee. So, and I was constantly, like, getting up. Like, I would retain that sensation, like.
You sure it wasn't neuroses?
I don't know.
I have to pee still? That would be me. Like, oh, shit, I just peed, but do I have to pee more?
I'm tired of those angel kisses inside my sweatpants whenever I pull my sweatpants back up and I feel it on my legs.
You got
that's courtesy of, I believe, Phil Hawkins in the Facebook. Yeah. Call him Angel Kisses.
Man, I got a whole technique down. I'll share it later.
So, like, I'd keep that sensation like 10 minutes after I was done. So, I would, for like 10 minutes, I'd be constantly going back, feeling like I had to pee some more. So, finally, I got sick of it. I was like, okay, well, I'll go to the doctor. And my normal doctor is like, I like her. I've seen her. I went from my pediatrician to this doctor. I had her most of my life. She's a short, heavyset woman, super nice, not a hot doctor by any means. So I normally go to see her. I needed to go see the doctor for this. She was on vacation. So I had to see another doctor in the practice. Well, the night before, like, I figured I would just go. I'd tell her what happened. She'd give me some kind of prescription, and that'd be it. So I remember the night before I went, like, I was off work for, like, 2 days. So If I'm off work and I have nothing else to do, I'll just sit there and play games.
Masturbate.
Yeah, all day, whatever. Yeah. This was long before I had Kenna or any real responsibilities.
Yeah. This is when you were spraying Kenna's siblings all over your belly.
Because I believe, God, I hadn't showered. I remember the night before, like, I ate a ton of, like, super greasy pizza.
Yeah.
So I had diarrhea, like, the night before.
Great. Perfect.
So I was like.
And you were like, get ready, short, heavy set doctor.
So I got up, and I was like, should I have to be there in, like, 30 minutes? So I just put on sweatpants and a hoodie, and I just left.
Yeah.
And when I get there, I found out, okay, you're going to go see this other doctor. I'm like, okay, fine. Whenever I'm sitting in the office, a super, super hot doctor walks in. Like,
Female.
Okay. No, this guy was fucking hot. No, she was, I mean, she was gorgeous, like super long red hair. She had like fucking heels and like a tight dress on top for her, like, you know, white coat or whatever. She was a fucking hot doctor.
Was she a real doctor? Or yeah, were they like, look, we got a guy coming in who really likes.
She's my normal doctor's like sister-in-law or something like that. So she was the one that was seeing me. And then she also had a student with her that day. Student, also super hot. And so she comes in, she tells me, you know, I told her my symptoms and what's going on. She's like, well, I'm going to need to check your prostate. And I'm just like, okay. She's like, do you mind if the student, you know, my student observes, blah, blah. I just like look at her like, that's fine. But I just want to tell you that I wasn't expecting this. I didn't shower. I'm not really prepared.
Yeah.
And without missing a beat, she's just like, any fecal matter I happen to get, we'll just send to the lab.
Like, okay. All right.
So her hot doctor and hot intern checked my prostate.
Yeah. How was it?
Fine.
Yeah.
they were, because, I mean.
Did they have a big barrel they had you like bend over?
They did have this thing they wheeled machine. Out. That, yeah, she checked it. It was uncomfortable, but it wasn't awful. So I was like, okay. And then she told me, she's like, I don't really have, you know, I can't find anything, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I want to send you to a specialist. Like, okay. The specialist was in Murray. So
please tell me the specialist was hot.
After
like you went through a string of like increasingly attractive doctors.
After I see the hot doctors, they refer me to a specialist in Murray. So I go, and when I get to his office,
he was a lizard.
he was the lizard of Spider-Man. No, when I get into, I go and I meet him. When he comes into the office, this dude is every bit of like 6'5", 6'6", and not like a tall, skinny 6'6", like a built Kingpin-esque 6'6". And like he shakes my hand. He's got the biggest fucking hands I've ever seen. So he's talking to me about what he's like, okay, well, I'm also going to have to check your prostate.
Oh, great.
Like, okay. At least like the hot doctor's like, I bent over and they're talking to me and like they applied lube and like gloves.
They're petting the back of your head. you're like a cat that's being put to sleep. it's gonna be fine.
This guy goes, why he's telling me this? I guess he already had the glove and everything already prepared.
Oh my god!
So like he's just like, I need to check your prostate. So like I was ready this time. I was showered and I was good this time. So as soon as I bend over, he just immediately just rams his dick-sized finger to check my prostate. And I just, when he did it, he was like, not very gratuitous, is it? Nope.
Wow, things I don't want a doctor to say.
So then he's just like, I can't find anything wrong. We'll probably need to give you a catheter and, you know, inspect further. That's when I was like, nah, I'll just have to pee. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I never went back.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have that problem still?
Every now and then. It subsided, it lessened, but just every now and then I still have it.
Do you think that doctors just like sticking their fingers in your butt?
I hope so. Hot doctor, unattractive doctor, kingpin doctor, rhino doctor, whatever. Just everybody's unshowered.
Yeah.
Get him in there.
It doesn't matter. Fecal matter? So what?
Sit in the lab. It's fine.
What lab? What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And man, I've never had my prostate checked. I probably need to. Probably do. I don't like going to the doctor. I went when my urethra was lacerated because that hurt like a motherfucker.
Oh, man.
And no one likes to come pink. So I guess I need to. I guess
no one likes to come that looks like Kirby.
Yeah,
way it pulls in a circle, it's just pink.
There's a very, very.
You could have made art with that and got a lot of karma on Reddit.
There's a very shallow color palette that you want to work with when it comes to semen. Like, there's a warning color. Pink is one of them.
You could have started a semen Kirby subreddit.
Like spin art or something. Like spin. Spin the paper in front.
Spidercraft.
There's some like weird, like the just Kirby music playing in the background while I do it.
It's all fucked up like the Earthbound Hotel.
Oh yeah. Man, I think I need to go to the doctor because like my this is gonna turn into Dave's checkup. This is not an interesting story. This is just me getting older. My fucking knee hurts. That's weird, right? Mm. Like it, like I can just pop it now. Like just pop it.
My knee does that sometimes.
Like, it's like it has to do with the weather because it's been really cold. Like this is literally the most boring intro. Like I sound like a 60-year-old man where it's like, man, I woke up this morning and man, my knee just doesn't feel right.
See, now we can just gauge our barometer like Tadpog in our 20s, Tadpog in our 30s, Tadpog in our 40s.
Man, I wish we
this
had.
This is where it's going.
I wish we had Tadpog in our 20s.
I did have Tadpog in my 20s.
Well, fuck you. I mean our real 20s, Tyler. I mean like our college days. I think a college days Tadpog would have been, well, first of all, wouldn't have gotten off the ground. Yeah. Because there's no way we would have committed to do that.
Now we would have recorded like too much. We would have did a show like every single day. Like if it was like gaming back in college.
There's no
like,
such
we'd
thing.
Like it so much, do it every single day.
No such thing as too much Tadpog. Just ask the people we
know. No one listened to the 12 hours of content we put up this week.
Man, it has felt really ridiculous putting up 7 or 8 episodes of Tadpog on SoundCloud each day. Because like once I look at that, because like SoundCloud's really cool because like they have really cool statistics. And like when I upload a big block, it's just like, you just uploaded 10 and a half hours. And it's just like, holy shit. I've been doing this every fucking day this month, except for if I missed like one day. Mm-hmm. I took a break. fucking deal with it.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. Womp womp.
Man, Parks and Rec surprised me because they came out with 2 episodes after I thought the season was over.
Oh, so that's a good, that's a natural
I was
treat.
Really, I was going through Hulu the other day and it was like, I didn't realize that the episode where it ended with Leslie and Ben in the future in DC.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the end. I thought that was the end of the show. So I was going through Hulu the other day. I was like, what? There's 2 more episodes after this?
The finale's so good.
The finale's really good.
Man, that is very good. It is pretty much a perfect finale. Really, really loved it.
Parks and Rec is the show, Tyler, that I did not expect to like at all. I thought it was, like, when it first came out, I think it was like, but The Office was like in its 3rd or 4th season, maybe even 5th.
Yeah.
And I was a big Office fan, and I remember seeing the commercials for Parks and Rec, and I remember thinking, oh, this is just The Office, but it's like with a government spin on it, like a local government spin. Because like all, you know, like the shots are kind of the same, and it's very intimate feeling. Yeah. But then you actually turned me on to it, and I gave it a shot. I even liked the first season. I know that's like the season I've heard in Facebook chat that like first season's verboten. Yeah. It's the chaos dunk of seasons.
They just had to, I don't know, that first season just seems like it betrays Leslie Knope's character because it makes her like a weak sap over this douchey guy.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's fair. Louis C.K. is like what, in 2 episodes in season 2?
Yeah.
Doesn't he play the cop or something?
Yeah, he's the cop that she dates.
Yeah.
I forgot about him being on it. Shit.
I was thinking about that the other day.
Do you want to mention the Patreon or you want to talk about your niece some more?
No, I'm done with the niece. That wasn't even a thing I planned, obviously.
We do a weekly How's Dave's knee this week?
Well, I went to a doctor in Murray. My knee still hurts, but wow.
But he fucked the shit out of me.
He really likes when I call him Kingpin. I don't know.
I was like, here's $20 for my copay. And then he fucked me.
I show up in a twinked out Spider-Man costume. No, I'm done talking about my knee. I like talking about Parks and Rec better. I feel like that's a better intro. Than I'm about fucking intro storied out, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm to the point now where I, like, when something, like, when I have a decision to make, where I'm like, well, maybe I should make the bad decision so I have a story to tell on the podcast. Like, that's how, like, bottom of the barrel I am on intro stories now.
Yeah, you're out to eat, and, like, a woman gives you her phone number. Oh, I'm not going to. It'd be a good intro story. Nikki understands.
Nikki would not be she would be like completely bemuddled by that. Like, I mean, it would just be like, I feel like she couldn't understand that on like multiple levels. Where it's just like, wait, a woman gave her phone number to you? Like, I feel like that would be.
He dressed like that? I don't know. What?
And I feel like we just wrote the 2nd best Everyone Loves Raymond episode ever.
Griff, that's only happened to me 1 time ever that a girl gave me her phone number.
Fucking congratulations, man. That is like.
Well, that was the girl who was like, I'm on a boyfriend hunt with her mom. So,
oh, right.
Yeah.
Sometime, maybe when Nikki's on the show, I guess when we finally get to Ready Player One, I can just completely embarrass her and tell the internet Oh, are you okay, man?
Yeah.
Prostate acting up?
I might have to go to the park and have that checked out.
When she's on the show, maybe I'll embarrass her and tell her our meeting story.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think we'd finally decided to go ahead and finish our Patreon and put it up.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do it after we record.
Yeah.
So I don't know how good it's going to be.
Yeah, it'll be there.
It might be awful.
But a Patreon is where people can basically just give us money.
Yeah, just want to give
if
us
if you want. If you want to give us money.
You don't have to. I enjoy producing this.
Uh-huh.
Right? And you enjoy producing it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like this isn't something that we do for money. It clearly isn't something that we do for money because they really haven't gotten much money.
Yeah, we're not about to. It's not like we're, well, if we don't get X amounts of money, no more Tadpog.
Right.
No, we're still going to do the show. But like people have asked, like, why did you have a Patreon?
Yeah,
like,
believe it or not, people have asked us to do this.
Give
it,
you know, we want to give you money. Okay. So they're like where you can just do a solid like $1, $5, $10 or subscribe to like give $1 a month or $5 a month or
I think we can do it per episode too.
Per episode.
I feel like that would be kind of, that might be good. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's a really weird subject for me because, like I said, like when we started this, like, yeah, I mean, I was thinking, oh, it'd be awesome if one day we could make some money off of this. Mm-hmm. But it's not a drive for me.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't really want to make, my goal isn't to make a profit from it. I just want to, whatever we get just goes into getting better microphones, soundproofing the annex, the soundboard, or, you know, what? That's what I want to do with it.
I want a pizza party.
Pizza party.
I want a pizza. I'm not going to even fucking lie. Like, we've got a lot of our money.
A Little Caesars hot and ready here.
No!
Every time we record.
Good pizza. I want good pizza, Tyler. Not that shit that Oathbreaker eats. We got a lot of our own money out of pocket tied up in this equipment. We need a pizza party.
Let's be honest, Dave. We deserve Little Caesars. We just talked about prostates and cum. All we deserve is one hot and ready pizza.
All right,
it might be a day old. Like we might get it early and leave it sitting here.
All right, I can't argue with that.
So that'll be up. We'll have a link to that in the show notes or
hopefully. If not, look for it soon. It's coming. Just know that it's coming.
So if you want to support us, like, I don't really want to do sponsors. I don't have to take time out of the show to tell about a product or anything like that. This way, we can make the show better and better, and we don't have to take away content time to do, you know, something else.
Yeah, that's true. I get tired of reads and stuff like that on my favorite shows. But, like, that being said, like, if there was a product I really liked, I wouldn't mind talking about it on the show anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm not into reads and stuff like that.
But I think it'd be awesome if you like the show and want a subscription, give us $1 a month, $12 a year. Something. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know if people did that. We could very quickly, you know.
Get lots of pizza.
I've got this one mic stand that is held together with a hair tie. So we could use a new microphone. So
I mean, we could.
We could.
We could also like just have some fun for once, Tyler.
No.
Just have some fun. You can get your prostate fixed.
We have kids, Dave. We don't have fun. Our fun days are done.
But that's why we need this fun money, Tyler.
We get to have fun in like 15 more years when we have like a breakdown.
We have our fourth kid.
We're in our 40s, yeah.
You and me have our fourth kid.
When we leave our wives, decide, we just have a kid. We're going to name him Tadpog. It's fine.
We could talk to Meg and Nikki about that. Maybe they could forge their own relationship.
And I'm still coming over my cold, so I'm going to take care of that so I don't increasingly sound more and more congested and keep throughout the show.
No, I like it. Okay, we're back.
All right, thank you.
We're back. Tyler's all desnotified.
Yeah, unclogged.
I want to point out that we just asked for money. We just asked for money, and we're just like, we're just going to be as unprofessional as possible. We got to pause the podcast so we can blow our nose and pee-pee.
Well, we didn't want to sound all nervous and clogged up. So.
That is true. Are we going to talk about a game today?
Yes.
We didn't even mention it in the beginning.
We mentioned about it last week.
Yeah.
This week, we're going to be talking about the, for Sega Genesis, a eventually list, 5-star iTunes review requested, Beyond Oasis.
I actually did my homework this time.
Yeah.
I can tell you who requested this game, Tyler, in their iTunes review. It was a 5-star review from Felix the Cat, aka Office Finance Guy.
Oh, okay.
I believe that we've got a phone call from Office Finance Guy before. Yeah?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Unless it was a different one. Well, thanks for the recommendation.
We did this game. We did.
Do you mind if I do just a little thing before we dive right into this game? Because I meant to do it on Mark of the Ninja. It's a little segment that I like to call "We Done Goofed."
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's an old segment. Man.
Blow the dust off it. All right, there we go.
I've been on the lookout because we make mistakes. I mean, everyone makes
sometimes.
Mistakes. Yeah, I mean, it's not common, but sometimes we do. Sometimes I say, you know, Chuck Berry, the guitar player, when I mean Chuck Barris, the host of The Gong Show. That happened on Mark of the Ninja. That's not on my We Done Goofed, but there's a freebie. I wanted to mention that Sam of Megalixir pointed out something that's super
Troubadour
important.
Sam.
Yes, Troubadour Sam pointed out that Wikipedia does show Barkley, Charles Barkley, on the Suns for the arcade, SNES, and Genesis versions of NBA Jam.
So he's totally
we
in it.
Totally missed, like, that's three we done fucked ups. So, Sam, thanks for pointing that out, because I, for some reason, I really didn't think Barkley was in NBA Jams. NBA James.
I didn't either.
And we played that game, and the idea makes me feel incredibly stupid.
But I never play the Suns, so I guess NBA Jam, I'm exclusively
Christian Laettner.
The Jets. They were telling me, the Facebook group was telling me about this, ESPN does this 30-30 series, like a documentary, and their next documentary is I Hate Christian Laettner, and it is how everybody hates him, just this documentary about him and his personality and everything. It's supposed to be really good. I'm going to watch this.
I can't believe that we did not mention him and Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden. I feel like that was like, when we were done recording, I can't tell you how many things like I forgot to talk about. I had so much to talk about with that game. And I couldn't
believe. He's not even mentioned.
No. And that blows my mind. Maybe he's in the sequel.
Hopefully. I mean, he'd be a good boss.
Yeah.
They were on the fucking dream team together.
I also have something from Archivist Corn.
Okay.
Archivist Corn told me that he was disappointed with the lack of Space Jam mashups in the show notes. He was hoping to at least see the My Slam Will Jam On mashup. He said, still, it was a great episode, and he's going to have to check the game out. I hope you have, because I can't stress enough how awesome this free game is.
If I need any filler for this episode, I'm going to put in Space Jam mashups.
Don't you worry, Tyler, because I wanted to let everybody know, if you haven't gone to tadpog.com since Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden, go back, because I've added like fucking 14. There's like 14 mashups, and they are like, I used about 3 hours of company resources to put this list together, so it's pretty good.
Because I sent out, one I really liked was for Super Smash Brothers. Like, they did a mashup of like Super Jam Brothers, and they superimposed NBA players over all the faces. it was real. It was also really good.
Definitely add it. I put the Price is Right Space Jam video in there. If you haven't seen that, please go to tadpog.com and check out the show notes for the Barkley Shut Up and Jam Guide, because you have to see this video. It is on Dave's must see. It's must see Dave TV.
There we go. That could be a pretty good. We do an episode like that.
Okay, sorry. Beyond Oasis is the game we're talking about.
Dave, do you hear that?
I hear a lot of things. Which thing are you talking about? Oh, the big finger in your ass train.
Yeah.
Not only do I hear it, I fucking smell it and feel it. It is awful. It is the worst.
It's not a good train.
No, it's
everybody
bad.
Has to have that train though.
I have
for
it.
for good health.
I know. I'm gonna die so early, Tyler. So early. I think it might be worth it. Yes, I do hear that awful train. I believe there's three conductors, a very large man and two attractive women at his side. One's grabbing his leg, his tree trunk sized leg, like Leia grabbing onto Luke's leg in the poster. Okay, guys, Beyond Oasis known in Japan as The Story of Thor, Hikari wo Sugu Mono. That ain't right.
I don't understand that at all.
Well, I mispronounced it. I'm not fluent in Japanese. It's a 1994 action role-playing video game developed by Ancient and published by Sega for the Mega Drive / Genesis console. The game was later re-released to the Wii's Virtual Console. It was included, Tyler, I'm sure this is I see this on your gaming shelf right now, in Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection, mm-hmm. For Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. That is about it. Then they go into the plot and gameplay. This is a pretty short Wikipedia entry, which makes me feel better because this is not a game that I knew existed until it was recommended to us.
I'd heard of it just because Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame had this for his Nomad.
Man, that guy and his Nomad, I'm fucking jealous. I also knew one person who had a... Did you know anyone else who had a Nomad?
Oh, I know that one kid who lied to me and said he had a Nomad.
That
so
was
I,
me.
So I let him borrow my game gear. Because let me borrow your game gear. I'll bring you my Nomad next week. Right. But my dog bit it, so it's in the shop.
That's like... I love the Nomad because like it was such a fucking good idea.
Sega, that's Sega's problem. They're too far ahead of the game.
It was such a good idea to play your fucking Genesis games mobily.
Yeah.
I mean, the battery life was horrible.
Oh, yeah. You had to plug it in the wall. There's no way. No way.
A buddy of mine, the one kid I knew who had a Nomad, he brought it on band trips because we would travel a lot for marching band. And we would always get to play about 45 minutes of Echo the Dolphin.
Oh, man.
So Shake had it.
He did, and I didn't play it very much, but he would always talk about it. Because I remember he was very hyped about it. He would always tell me like, "So I mean, you're the main character, and you have the gold armlet. I mean, the gold armlet, that's pretty cool. You know, you have the gold armlet, but the enemy, Tyler, the enemy has the silver armlet,
right?
And that's badass. I mean, he comes in and he's destroying shit. I mean, Tyler, it sounds more powerful, the silver armlet, than the gold armlet.
More syllables, more power. Yeah. I get it. Tim the Toolman Taylor understood it.
And that's always in my head about this game, is him telling me just that little bit. But I have it on the Wii Virtual Console. I bought it a long time ago.
Because of my recommendation from Shake years and years ago?
But back then, whenever I was buying stuff on the Wii Virtual Console, like that was whenever... like. Two games a week, and the library is very small, and I just want to buy stuff and get it on there. And I was like, Beyond Oasis, I know what that is. Click.
Bought.
Yep.
Did you play it?
Not until the other day.
Okay. What'd you think of it?
Oh, I have mixed feelings about this game.
Okay. I do too. But what do you think?
I was impressed by how immediately colorful it is.
Yeah.
It's colorful. It's approachable.
There's a cool opening.
Yeah.
There's like an opening animation, which is pretty rare, I feel like, in games like this, especially for the Genesis and SNES.
Yeah.
Because it's like an anime cinematic almost. Low res, but I mean, it looks, I was impressed.
So starting off, I mean, trying to get the controls right, because I'm still like, I was an SNES kid. So playing a Genesis, I played way more Nomad than I did Sega Genesis. So the control scheme is just a lot different for me, but... I mean, I can't dig on the game about that exactly.
Sure, that's it.
I have another complaint, but it's not about that exactly. Getting into it, I thought the first few hours, like, it was kind of easy. It was leading you into it. I had fun the first few hours I played this game.
Yeah.
And then I hit a point where I felt like the bullshit factor went through the fucking roof.
I think, I'm curious what point this was, because I also was playing this game, and I felt like, This is pretty fun. This is light. This is a lighthearted little game. Mm-hmm. And then I also got to a point in the game where it's like, oh, okay, I see what kind of game it is.
Yeah.
What point was it?
When I'm in a place called the Wall Fortress, to where you step on these platforms and wind starts blowing you back. That's it's like nothing else in the game, and it is such fucking tropey bullshit that that is whenever my enjoyment kind of bottomed out, and then it was just me playing it because I wanted to play more of it to talk about.
Yeah. That that is also the part of the game where it was like, fuck this. Because it is just the whole dungeon is you on a bridge, essentially, mm-hmm. with heavy wind blowing directly on you. Mm-hmm. So your movement is completely limited, and the dungeon is all about you getting hit by things and getting blown like a fucking screen bat uh-huh. and having to redo it.
Redo it, and then I was okay half of it, and then I get to this one part where there are spikes.
Yes.
You're being blown toward the spikes,
yeah.
and you have to defeat so many enemies. I don't know
these
why.
These birds are dropping fucking gremlins on you.
So many enemies. Yeah. Like, I thought maybe I just have to clear the whole screen at once.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, I deplete my whole inventory, just like trying to get more magic points to have my my spell monster.
Spirit points, Tyler. Come
spirit
on.
Spirit points.
Let's avoid a lawsuit.
To have the Efreet spell spam his area of effect to try and keep me alive because I'm just constantly in the spike animation when you get hit by a spike.
It sends you back.
Yeah, you're shunted either further into the spikes.
Always further into the spikes.
Or if you're at the other end and the spikes come up, it shunts you damage all the way back.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's awful.
It is the worst.
But up until that point, I was having fun with the game. I generally did enjoy it. I enjoyed the dungeons. I thought the controls are a little wonky.
Yeah.
Okay, because the Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, you've got 4 buttons. Sega Genesis has 6.
Yeah.
So there's no...
You got more on this. You got the R&L.
Yeah. So there's no reason to give the same button multiple functions. So because you have...
I know where you're going with this.
You have a knife.
Yeah.
And if you press it quickly, he just does a quick jab forward.
Right.
If you hold it in for just like half a second, then he does a broad swing.
It's a charge. That's pretty, I feel like that's pretty standard.
It could have easily and been much, it would have made so much more sense to have a light punch and a heavy punch for your dash and your swing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I kind of get that.
Maybe so you could create combos with it or anything like that, as opposed to when I'm trying to do one thing and I'll do the next thing.
Yeah. I get that point. I feel like it's forgivable on the weapon just because I'm used to like fucking Mega Man and shit where it's like you just hold the attack button and it charges it. But like what I couldn't forgive was something similar, and that's jumping. Jumping and ducking, because jumping and ducking are handled with the same button.
Yeah, you got 6 buttons. Spread it out.
Well, I think it must have been designed to play on the original 3-button controller. Like it had to have been, right? I mean, why else design it that way? Because the jump button and the duck button, it's the same fucking button.
Yeah.
And it's like if you tap it, you will jump. But if you hold it in, you will duck. I got to tell you, like, there are parts in this game, there are platforming aspects of this game that are extremely difficult because of this constrained button schematic. Mm-hmm. Because there are parts in the game where there are floating platforms that are moving, and you have to jump from moving platform to moving platform. And if you fail the jump, you fall into a bottomless pit and respawn where you started from.
Yeah.
This is pretty standard fare, but... when you have a button where if you just happen to press it a little bit differently, instead of jumping to the next platform, you squat down and walk off the platform. Yeah. No, man, that is unforgivable.
It's awful.
It's unforgivable. I did like this game though, Tyler. Can I say that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I liked most of it too, but it does have some serious issues.
Yeah, I don't want to shit on this game because I did legitimately enjoy playing this game. Mm-hmm. It was just punctuated with frustration.
Yeah.
Like there were long stretches where it was really, really fun and it just a crappy part. Just infuriating part.
A dungeon
part.
That's just terrible or something. I enjoyed the spell system.
Yes.
And so you go, you have your silver, the gold armlet has power over wild spirits.
Right. 4 in particular.
So you can go and you go to a temple and free that spirit to serve you, but you can only summon it like a water spirit. You can only summon the water spirit.
Ditto.
Close to a body of water.
A stream, raindrops in one dungeon.
Sometimes enemies that throw certain kinds of...
Yeah, there was like a water ooze.
I feel like that was kind of the cheat sometimes, is being able to use an enemy's attack. If you're fucking quick enough, it's hard to do, but you can summon a spell through an enemy's attack, which is awesome.
I love that. I mean, I don't think I've played a game like that. It's kind of similar to... I hate to bring it up because it gets so much hate, but Final Fantasy VIII's draw system, where you... pretty much only get to use magic if it is available to you within the dungeon. Because that's very true. Like, if there were no fires in the dungeon, you wouldn't be able to summon Ifrit.
So, I mean, that I really enjoyed. And then, like, they had drastically different abilities, each of the spells.
So there's Ditto, or Dido, D-Y-T-T-O, I think was her name. She's water. I mainly used her to heal.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did.
Because, like, she has another attack, which is, like, a very slow-moving blob of water that is supposed to stun an enemy, but I was never able to hit an enemy with it because it moves so fucking slow. And then she has, like, these water vortexes, which I used until I got the next summon, Ifrit.
Yeah.
Because he has a much better area of effect.
Where he'll actually go and attack the enemies on his own. Yeah,
I fucking love this summon. Because, like, his area of effect, he turns into an angry sun, essentially, and just shoots off balls of fire, and cardinal directions.
Great, great balls of fire.
Yes, achievement unlocked. And then there's the shade.
See, I didn't get the shade. I rage quit before. I got to the volcano and then dropped my controller in frustration, and it's like, if I push myself any further, I will get truly upset, and I have to take steps away back from this game. I get so frustrated.
I understand that. I got there too. I'll tell you that story in a minute. The shade is really kind of weird because he doesn't work like the other two, which is great. You don't want him to. Mm-hmm. Your main use of the shade is you can summon him. Did you ever see any of those posts that looked like when you saw him, you're like, if only I had a hook shot.
Yep.
That's what the shade's for. The shade is this game's hook shot. Okay. He stretches out and grabs posts and pulls you across ledges.
Okay. So that adds that Metroidvania-esque aspect to the game.
Right. But he can also, another one of his abilities is you can make a doppelganger of yourself. So when you activate that ability, you sit down crisscross applesauce and the shade pretends he's you, and you're able to scout out and, like, stand on blocks to solve puzzles and stuff like that. Like, if you both need to be on, like, a weighted stone or something like that, you can send him away. And then there is Bow or Bow, B-O-W, which is the plant spirit. I'm going to say Bow because, like, a tree bow, maybe, and they just didn't know how to spell it right.
Okay.
I have no idea. His main use is to knock down green gates. That's pretty much it.
Because I remember I see two places in the game where they're, like, potted, like, Venus flytraps. Yep. So I figured there was some sort of plant that you'd eventually get.
That's if you fire an armlet bolt at him, yes, he'll turn into Bow. And you, like I swear to you, the only thing I ever used him for was knocking down very specific green gates. He can't knock down anything else, but if the gate is green, he'll smash his big old fucking
developers up there. Got like, we gotta fucking put this thing out. Just have him color the gates green, and then that's what he does.
Yeah.
All right, write a budget. Fine.
He could also, like, bite enemies and stuff, but it's like, once you have Ifrit, your fucking offense is covered. You're done. Just, it's Ifrit. You're done.
It's true. Let's see. The music and sound, like, I feel like
it's pretty awful, huh?
Yeah. This is the first game I feel like I can say that about in a really, really long time. Yeah.
It seems like some of the sound effects are like,
whenever you beat somebody, like when you kill an enemy, that rawr.
I think they had like 8 different screams, which I could applaud that. It's like, okay, like every guy who dies doesn't have the fucking Wilhelm scream. Good for you. But like a lot of the sounds, like when you would pause, I'm saying like a lot. Sorry about that, listener. When you press pause and exit the screen or like hit the cancel button, it's fucking Pac-Man. It's the Pac-Man sound. It does the Pac-Man sound. It's like they didn't even fucking try to make it not sound like Pac-Man.
The only one that I liked is the save noise.
Yes.
The whistle. Yeah. That I like. Other than that, though, I feel like, and I know you think it had really the best sound, but I feel like this is like a good looking Genesis game with a Game Boy soundtrack. Because so much of the music to me sounded like it came out of a Game Boy.
I don't understand the comment. I mean, I do love Game Boy music.
Because when you were playing Link's Awakening, you were like, you know what? The Game Boy truly had the best sound.
That was a joke, clearly. I like it when the hot musicians are plugging the Game Boys into the soundboard. I do like that. The music is really bad in this game.
And nothing stands out to me as like ever being any good. Like I don't.
No.
Hey, sing me a, or whistle like a Beyond Oasis song.
Right.
Bling, bong. Bling, bling, bong.
Some of the boss music I liked. It was like, dun, 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 dun. But I mean, it was pretty standard, like video game boss music. Ominous, insert ominous music. There is a track, I swear to you, it's like the overworld track where you're kind of near the palace and everything's all green. It sounds like something that was left on the cutting room floor of Super Star Wars. It really sounds like they were like, can you do a Star Wars song that doesn't get us sued? And the composer was like, yeah, I could change a few notes here and there.
I like that there are no save points. You can save anywhere that's on the outside map.
Of the dungeon. Yeah, I like that too.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of this game. Like, I don't know. There's things I really like about it, things I don't like about it. So, I mean, this game pretty much walks that middle line for me.
I really like, Tyler, turning this game on and seeing that logo and hearing Sega. Holy shit, man. Like, that brought some feels to the party.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I think it might have set the tone. Sega was like really good when they're in their branding because they're like, you know what? We can just put this at the beginning of a game. People get excited. And then they're going to go into the game being like, all right, I might like this a lot. Because I liked this game. Like I said, I had some points of frustration. There was a time where I almost went to the kitchen and kicked a box around. Nikki had to calm me down because I got lost in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I got lost in the game. What happened was I was about to fight the big bad boss at the end, and I fucking decided to just like go look for chests. Let's go on a treasure hunt. I could just finish this game and be done with it, but I don't know, look for fucking gems because you power up your elemental spirits with gems. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go looking. I was like, oh, well, there's a chest. I find the one on the screen. I jump down a ledge, get to the chest. Guess what? I can't get back up that fucking ledge. And now I have to go through 4 fucking dungeons. I redid 4 dungeons trying to get back to where I needed to be. The fifth dungeon being the volcano, which was cut off. Because when you finish the volcano dungeon, the door collapses. So I'm like, I'm getting frustrated because it's like, I'm already pissed off. Because it's like, are you fucking kidding me? I have to play through all these fucking dungeons because the map is so linear. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't just go wherever you want. It's a very specific order. Like if you want to get to the castle from where you are now, you have to go this one direction. That's it. I was already so frustrated that when I got to the volcano and I saw that it was blocked off, I lost my mind. I lost my mind. Nikki had to talk me off of the ledge because, I mean, it was just like I was ready to throw my fucking controller through the television screen. And I broke down and decided to fucking Google it. How do you Google that? That took me like that, after going through these fucking dungeons for 2 hours. 2 hours, I was like, fuck it, I'll Google it. And then I sat in front of my iPad like, how do you fucking Google it? I'm lost in Beyond Oasis. What
Sega
do?
Sega game, 1995, jump off ledge. What?
Yeah, exactly. I literally have a search in my history that says, Beyond Oasis, fell down ledge. it took me like 20 minutes of searching and I was like, fuck it. There's got to be a way to like warp in this game. Like there has to be like a fucking warp whistle or something to just bring me back to the goddamn castle. So I did a search for Beyond Oasis Warp. There are a whole bunch of hidden warps in this game. Most of which you can only see if you are using the shade element, the shade spirit in doppelganger mode. Which means that all of these are fucking invisible. All you have to do is know where it is, point your fucking gold armlet at it, and fire a bolt, and it opens up a rift, and it brings you to a designated point. So if I would have just looked that up 2 hours earlier. Mm. It's a really simple, like where you drop off that ledge, you just shoot a warp and it puts you right back where you came from.
Oh, that's God.
It. And it made me fucking furious because it's like, are you fucking kidding me? That is the only way to get out of that scenario. That is it. That's
and why would
all,
you know? How why would you know?
You would not know. Mm. And like, that was the moment where it was like, if I were playing this as a kid, I never would have beat this game. Yeah. I never would have beat it because I would have been in that situation. I wouldn't have had the internet and I would have just been like, well, I'm not starting over. So goodbye, Beyond Oasis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that's bad. This game, another thing I don't like about it, because I don't like this, it's also my gripe against the Fire Emblem series, is weapons with limited uses.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that, because I know you don't like weapon durability.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Is there a reason for that?
It makes me feel like I can never use my weapons except on a boss. Mm-hmm. So things get a lot harder, and I never know when the next one's going to come.
Yeah.
This isn't a game where you can go buy more. You're not at a shop. Right. You just have to hope you see more.
You find one, yeah.
Or if you find an increasingly rare one. Yeah. You know, I know I looked up, and there are specialty quests where you can get infinite versions of very powerful weapons. So your daggers are the infinite ones. There's a ton of beneath-the-surface content of this game. You could put, if you wanted to master Beyond Oasis, yeah, it is an endeavor. There's so much shit you could do here.
Which is great, but there is no kind of hint that that this is underneath the surface.
Yeah.
Because like, there's no NPC that I run across who's like, you know, you can get a weapon that doesn't fucking degrade.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
There's like no, like even there's no hook or anything out there.
You're
for
right,
you to grab
nothing at all. So it's bullshit in that regard.
I think it's interesting that there is a weapon system because the knife is so versatile. Mm-hmm. There are special moves that you can do, which is an aspect of this game that I really like because I like fighters and I like being able to input button combinations and my character does something cool on the screen. Mm-hmm. So you talked earlier about like if you hit the attack button, it's just a jab with the knife. And if you hold it down, it's like a charge. It's a more powerful attack. But you can also do like forward, back, forward while you're holding the attack button down and your character will leap up into the air with his knife and slam down on an mm-hmm. enemy. And you can do like a clockwise circle and he'll do a spin attack. So I felt like it was really cool because a lot of these swords and other weapons that you can find are technically more powerful. The knife, the thing that never breaks, allows you to do all these versatile things. So I thought that was cool. I thought that was a nice way to balance it because I never felt like I really needed any of the weapons. They were really nice to have when I fought a boss though. Like I found a sword called Death.
Death was...
Man, that was a great sword. I killed a bunch of bosses with that.
Yeah, that boss, after the whole wind tunnel, all that bullshit you had to go through, you see Silver Armlet, and then, because they call each other Gold Armlet and Silver right. Armlet. Like, everyone probably has names and history and stuff like that. You just don't ever get it in-game. And
they do have, they do have a story in the beginning. It's very long, about the wizards who made the armlets. And they waged a war, and then they killed each other, and their spirits got trapped in the armlets.
That, after that, and then he's just like, well, you have to get my warp device if you want it. I guess I'll let you have it. He runs away. And then you jump in the warp, and then after all that bullshit, then I was being chased by this giant snake.
Yes.
And like trying
like a colossal snake.
Yeah, trying to kill that thing with a dagger. Frustrating. No, and I remembered, I got that sword called Death. Let's try that out. Uh-huh. Three hits and I was good.
Yeah.
But for a while, I was just like, after all that fucking bullshit to get here, now this, and when I went to the volcano and those fucking wizards that are disappearing constantly, mm-hmm. you can't deflect their throw these energy balls at you. Can't deflect them. Can't run away from them because they chase you until they hit something.
Right.
So at that point, when I was trying to jump over lava and jump off these different ledges, I quit. I stopped.
You were pretty close. I feel like you got pretty close.
I got over probably a little over halfway, but they started having a few more enemies. But in general, you fight the same kind of enemies that are just their color palettes.
Palette swaps. Yeah.
A lot of mini complaints. I guess if you were a Sega kid, this is probably the closest you came to like Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, I think this, like on the box, they say that it is the largest adventure game for Genesis.
Yeah.
Which I believe, because I mean, it's a pretty sizable game. I know I heard that the game took 6 hours to beat. It took me 10 and a half, but 2 hours of that was me fucking wandering around the desert, wandering through four fucking dungeons. Something that I thought about this game, and I'm glad you brought up Legend of Zelda, because I wanted to ask you how you felt like this game compared to A Link to the Past and Secret of Mana. Because I feel like those are the two closest games to Beyond Oasis, but on
it
Super Nintendo.
It feels a lot like Secret of Mana. Yeah, it feels a lot like Secret of Mana. It's not as clunky as Secret of Mana.
Mm-hmm.
But like kind of that weight and kind of the controls aren't super tight. They're just kind of loose. I mean, I feel like it pales in every way to Legend, you know, Link to the Past.
I agree.
Or the original. I think the original ad was much tighter than the way Beyond Oasis controls. But yeah, there's no way. If this was their adventure and they're stacking this up against Link's Awakening, no, Sega loses.
Yeah.
But that being said, like if this is all you have, this is still, it's still pretty good for an adventure game like that. It's still solid. You get your rank up, I guess, every now and then. You get that heart.
Yeah, I think it's set for like how many enemies you kill or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and it's like a very minor level up. You might get like two more hit points or something like that.
And it's definitely inspired by Zelda.
Yeah.
Because like when you get that heart, you hold it up over your head. Yeah.
I had so much trouble with them spawning in places I couldn't get to them.
Oh, that was so annoying, man. Because like, yes, the heart would drop off an enemy. Meanwhile, you're fucking surrounded by four other enemies. And like they don't stay there.
Nope.
They don't. They do that thing that, man, everybody who's ever played a video game knows that fucking feeling where you see an item on the ground that you really want and it starts flashing. Where it's like, oh, great, this is going to disappear in like literally 2 seconds. And then like there's no way to get to it because the enemies are just
all over
chewing
you.
On you.
Yeah. Or I'd have them spawn in doorways. Yes. So if I went to go grab it, I'd leave the room.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, fuck, it was frustrating.
And if it makes you feel any better, I missed a lot too.
Yeah.
So What would you rather play? Would you rather play Beyond Oasis or would you rather play Secret of Mana?
Yeah, I'd rather play Beyond Oasis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know that you did not really enjoy
Secret
of
Mana. I did not like Secret
of Mana. I remember
that
clearly. I actually was surprised by this game. I feel like all I have done is shit on it. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it enough to finish it. I mean, I wanted to finish this game because the fun parts were really, really fun. Mm-hmm. And I thought the combat was so much, I mean, we're making the comparison to Link to the Past. I think the combat in this game is a lot more fun than the combat in any Zelda game I've played.
Yeah.
But I think active. Yeah. I think there's a lot of that where it's like, I almost feel like this felt like more of an overhead, top down beat 'em up than it did an action RPG, because it's the same concept of a side-scrolling beat-em-up. It's just the camera just happens to be up pointing downwards at you because you're, like I said, you're putting in the special moves, and you can, I really enjoyed assessing the situation and being like, okay, well, a gremlin's coming from my left. I got an elite guard coming from my right. I'm going to do this move. It's going to hit both of them. Then I can summon this Efreet and do an area of effect. So I felt like the combat was, I was able to finesse it more than I would in a Zelda game. Cause like a lot of times in a Zelda game, I just feel like I don't have the options. All of my options are limited to my equipment and not necessarily skill.
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
And I was not skilled at this game. But still, I feel like that's something that you could really grow with.
But overall, I mean, I'm happy I played it. Happy I played more of it. After I chill out about that volcano, this is something I could possibly play more of. I'm interested to get the shade, just, you know, to see how that plays out.
I'm interested to see what you think about the ending. Yeah. Do you mind if I spoil it?
Nope.
If anyone out there is listening to this and you care about the ending of Beyond Oasis, please go ahead and skip ahead fucking 2 hours, because I'm talking about for like 2 hours, a couple minutes. Do you recall, it seemed like a throwaway line in the game where they talk about your sister?
No.
one NPC somewhere says something about you having an elder sister who disappeared. Immediately when I read that line, I was like, that Silver Gauntlet has to be. Has to be Silver Gauntlet. Otherwise, that single line wouldn't be in the game. Like, if you mention that elder sister several times just offhand, maybe it's not her. But if one NPC says it just out of the blue, well, okay, that's probably the villain. And that's who it was. It's revealed at the end that it's your sister who disappeared years ago. You go to the Shadowlands to fight Silver Gauntlet and end
Silver
up...
Silver Armlet.
Oh, yeah, Silver Armlet, not Gauntlet. Mm-hmm. You find Silver Armlet there, and you beat her, and then you have to fight her god, who is the wizard who made the Silver Armlet. And really not super...
lackluster boss battle?
Yeah, not really epic at all. Mm-hmm. I picked up a sword called the Omega Sword, and I killed him with that.
Yeah, all the bosses, I felt like if I just equipped the swords I was holding on to, none of them were like, eat a wheel of cheese, chop, 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 eat a piece of garlic, chop, 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 you're done.
The real culinary gangsta is Ali. We haven't talked Prince about Ali. That. Prince Ali.
Of Alibaba.
Exactly. Who is the blondest Middle Eastern gentleman I have ever seen. This dude is blonder than Naruto. He is dressed like Aladdin, but yeah, he's totally got JTT's haircut, but with like the yellowest fucking blonde ever.
Like, how can we sell this game in America? Make the main character blonde. That's all they care about over there. Just make him blonde, send it over.
Okay, I made him blonde. Blonder. Okay, I made him blonder. What do I fucking pay you for? Make him blonder. Yep.
Overall, do you have any achievements?
I do.
Okay.
I have a few achievements. And one I just came up with that I'm sure is going to be great.
There you go.
My first achievement, Tyler, is called Dynafire. In order to unlock Dynafire, what you have to do is kick a giant roly-poly into a wall of fire and kill it.
Okay.
Because that's a thing you can do in the game that I thought was extremely satisfying.
Yeah, fucking roly-polies suck to fight, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I have one achievement.
What you got?
It's called Needle Dick.
Okay.
And you get Needle Dick by killing 20 of those heavy armored foes with the light jab of the dagger.
Yeah, which is, I think, the best way to do it.
Best way, because you keep... Their attack is so slow, you basically
interrupt
stun,
it every
stun.
Time.
Yeah, every single time.
I've got a second achievement, and it is called, What She Said. And in order to unlock, What She Said, you have to free Ditto from her prison. And then the one that I just came up with is Prince Aliabwabwa. And in order to unlock Prince Aliabwabwa, what you have to do is use the Shade's doppelganger ability. Man, I've been talking so fucking long. My voice is just fucking cracking left and right. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
I spent the day playing this game and talking about it.
I got up this morning and I told Meg, I was like, I'm sorry. I'm going to play this game all day so I can talk about it tonight.
Yeah.
Whenever it's going to be like 5 o'clock and Meg's like, have you heard from Dave? I was like, nope. Why don't you text him?
Nope.
We're doing the exact same thing and trying to finish this game before we have to record.
Yeah. And it's funny because Nikki mentioned to me, she said, have you heard from Tyler yet? This was around like, I don't know. It was funny. It was right before you texted me because I picked my phone up. She said, have you heard from Tyler yet? I said, nope. I looked down and there was your text. And I was like, all right, I think he just finished it too.
I was like, I know my boyfriend's habits, Meg, okay? This is why he's not texting me. When he's ready, he'll let me know.
If you were to give this game a beard, Tyler, what kind of beard would you give it?
I would give it the Sultan's beard from Aladdin.
Okay.
Because it fits that theme. Aladdin doesn't have a beard. Right. If Aladdin have a beard, I still don't think this game deserves Aladdin. Doesn't deserve Jafar's beard.
Is that what you gave Aladdin the SNES game when we talked about it on
iTunes?
Maybe
I gave it Jafar's beard.
Did you give it Jafar's beard? I can't remember. The only thing I can remember about that game really is that
snake vagina.
Snake vagina throne. Yep, absolutely.
So it's not good enough for Aladdin's beard or Jafar's beard. So it gets the Sultan's beard.
Question. Mm-hmm. Would you rather play Beyond Oasis or Aladdin for the Super Nintendo?
Aladdin for the Super Nintendo.
Are you shitting me? Really?
I liked Aladdin a lot growing up.
Okay.
Except for that genie level. Except for being inside the lamp. Genie level. Fuck that.
I would much rather play Beyond Oasis.
I want to play the Aladdin one for Genesis because I know it's a lot different.
Yes, it is.
So I guess it depends.
And that was the big debate when I was in middle school, which one was better.
Super Nintendo one was easier.
I played the Genesis one a little bit, but not enough to weigh in. Mm. I mean, it was always the big conversation was, which is better, Aladdin on Genesis or SNES? And then if someone decided that it was better on SNES, someone would be like, yeah, but you can play as the Raptor in Jurassic Park on Genesis. So eat that. And there was no comeback.
Sega do what Nintendo don't.
Why was Sega so aggressive in their advertising, right? I don't know. It just seems like they had a lot to prove.
Yeah. Third, we have all this technology we're just going to unveil 10 years too early. While Nintendo is going to succeed, but I'm feeling it 10 years too late with all the Wii stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would you give it?
Well, see, I'm torn because I've heard that they're just kind of like a self-sustaining, non-warlike people. But from what I've seen from the Star Wars Nintendo games, they're an aggressive, elite band of powerful warriors that just fuck Luke up at every instance.
Yes.
So I'd have to give it the sun deflecting and blocking penetrative power of the Sand People's glasses.
Okay.
Mighty, mighty Sand People.
Yeah, the Tusken Raiders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think that's fair. There's a lot of desert in this game.
Mm-hmm. We never done how much of Amazon for a Sega game.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I don't feel like it's worth it.
Strictly a Super Nintendo game.
I got another question for you, Tyler.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I want to play that game. Okay. I want to play that game really bad. But I do need to look it up on Amazon for just a minute.
Okay.
So there is something about this game that I hadn't talked about yet, and I don't want to forget about it. When you finish the game, there's this really cool thing where they show you a screen that shows you your play result, which was completely unexpected. And what they tell you is they give you your exact time it took you to complete the game. They give you a rank. They tell you what your max HP and your max SP were at the end of the game. They tell you how many times you died. I died 14 times.
That's
and
good.
They tell you your number of kills. I killed 1,370 enemies. Probably half of those was going through the dungeons again. They tell you how many jewels you collected. There's 60 total. I did not do well. I collected 35. And then they give you a class based on, I guess, those stats. And I got fighter because I guess I killed a whole bunch of fucking monsters. Yeah. They're like, here you go, asshole. You're a fighter.
I know it goes all the way. I saw that on one of the game facts. That it goes up to like superhero and stuff like that.
Oh, I see.
Fighter's actually kind of high. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, It's 10 and a half hours I kind of wasted instead of really wasted. I was supposed to be looking this up while I was talking, but I didn't.
It's okay. Overall, I mean, I'm still kind of torn about this game because I did really like it. I didn't love it. It's not in my top 50 probably, but I'm glad I played it way more than I did. And I'm glad you seem to really like it a lot.
I can definitely recommend this game for people who like Legend of Zelda, but also like fighting games and brawlers, because I feel like this really blurred the line between the two.
Okay.
So it was really a good mix for me. If they would have just had some more polish, generally, I would have been extremely happy with this game. Like, this might actually be a blip on my best games of all time kind of deal if it had been polished and had a better control scheme.
Soundtrack and sound effects.
Exactly. And what's really weird to me is I feel like this game in very specific areas had an extreme amount of polish and care, but just overall, it just felt kind of slapped together, like with the soundtrack. Because one of these examples of specific polish is one of my favorite fucking things about this game is when you've summoned Ifrit and he's fighting enemies, if he punches a zombie, it flies into the air and turns into ash.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is a beautiful fucking animation. Mm-hmm. And it is completely counter to the rest of the game where it's just kind of like, I don't know, blah, blah, desert tree, whatever. And then like there's this really specific instance where it's like, holy shit, that's an amazing animation. Mm-hmm. What's it doing in this game? Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
We got a third very important question for you. Mm. It's a part of a little segment that I like to call, how much is this game on Amazon? So what I want to know is, if you were to buy this game today, used on Amazon, how much would you pay for it?
I mean, I know.
Keep in mind, it's a Genesis game.
As a Genesis game, I also feel like, I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but the fact you had never heard it before, I only had because of Shake. I'll aim a little high and go for $34.
$34. I feel like that's a respectable guess. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Actual retail value of Beyond Oasis for the Genesis, that sounded weird, at the time of this recording, was $23.99.
Okay.
Do you know if on the whole Genesis games are less expensive nowadays than Super Nintendo
games? I would assume they are.
I would too, but I have no idea.
Because I see way more people collecting Super Nintendo than I do Sega.
Yeah.
Anybody call us?
Well, you know they called us.
Yeah.
You know they called us.
You got some time. We can take a few calls.
All right. First call. This is from 228. Not sure we've played a 228 call before. Maybe we have. Here we go.
Motherfucking Tag Pod. This is Chris. Long time listener. First time caller. Nice. No, I think it would be a great idea if Nicole did a movie review podcast. But Dave?
Yes.
I think you need to put your money where your mouth is, and I think you need to co-host it with her.
Mm.
That's right. Nicole and Dave play old movies. NADCOM. Works both as a podcast and a sexual maneuver.
Did I say that I would co-host that? That's the only part I'm trying to figure out is put my money where my mouth is.
Because she wants us on for the first episode.
Yeah. I'm down for that. That sounds great. I cannot fucking do another show. I cannot. I really appreciate the call and the what sounded like maybe a vote of confidence, but man, I feel like that show is going to be so much stronger because we're not on it all the time. Just because it's going to be different.
Yeah.
I can't wait for her to do it.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be really, really good.
I love a first time. Long time listener, first time caller.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a follow up call because this is also from 228.
Motherfucking Tad Pog. This is Chris again. Long time listener, second time caller. I got some suggestions. Just some things to keep the Tad Pog brand going as y'all try to figure out what else y'all want to do, what other lists. So, in other words, you take the POG on Pog. And apply it to other words.
Okay.
Like Tyler and Dave pass out gradually. It'd be a one-off show where you drink yourself into a stupor.
John, Charlie, you're on this one.
This one probably not a real good idea. Tyler and Dave phone old girlfriends.
That is a good idea.
Get in trouble a little bit. Tyler and Dave prank on Godzilla. Now, how you would do this would be to get Matthew Broderick's phone number and then prank call him about how bad the 1998 Godzilla was. And my personal favorite, Tyler and Dave, piss off goats. I'll leave that one up to y'all. Have a good one.
Thanks, second time caller, Chris.
Motherfucking Tad Paw.
The remix.
Those were good. Those were good suggestions. Those were good suggestions. Even though he wants you to guest host that with Nicole, does not want me to guest host that with Nicole.
Well, look, you had the...
I had that other guy calling just for me.
Exactly. So I feel like that's good. Now I feel like we're back on even keel. I like that. I felt like Tadpog was just spiraling out of control. And then Chris came in and set balance to the world. I don't know if I'd like to prank on Godzilla. I don't know about that. Tyler, this is...
Prank on grannies, because we've had a few grannies called the Tadpog line mistakenly.
I'd love to prank on some grannies. nothing makes me happier than pranking on a granny.
Prank on gilfs. We're just calling gilfs like, oh, what a fuck.
You already said grannies.
Click. This is like Helen Mirren. We're calling Helen Mirren.
All right, let's see. We got a call from 270. This looks like it might be Exalted Lord Mike. Actually, it's a text message. I can confirm it is definitely Exalted Lord Might. I need a drink of something. This is going to be a long, this is a long text. Hello, gentlemen. Exalted Lord Micah Perdue here with a fantastic original flavored Would You Rather? Semicolon. This is one that I'm scared to answer myself. So if that tells you anything, you're in for a good discussion. Without further ado, this Would You Rather is brought to you by Pepperidge Farm. Why? Because they remember what you did last summer. Hint, her name is Jennifer and she works at Kmart. You're welcome, Blake. Would you rather, colon, give head to your father or give face to your mother? I'd rather slip my wrist than do either. The end. That's it from Exalted Lord Mike. What do you think? What do you think, Tyler? Would you rather give head to your father or give face to your mother?
Give face to my mother because I don't imagine Dad does it.
That he does it.
That I don't think. I bet Dad's like, nah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you can do me, but nah.
You're throwing her a bone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say your mother, because if you went down on your dad, he'd shoot you. Man, Tyler, you've already pointed out on the show that I have casual sex with my family. So I feel like I'm absolved from this.
You can't just do one because then the other one gets mad.
Right, exactly.
So it has to be both of them.
It's like when you grab a breast. You have to grab the other one because it gets jealous. That's just the way it works.
I was hoping Lord Mike's Pepperidge Farm would be, remember when only Lord Mike did this? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
We got another call. This is from 801. Do you think this is our last one?
It depends on how long it takes.
Okay. It's a two-minute call. Let's see.
Fucking Tadpog. This is Nate from Utah. Yeah, I'm a little drunk right now, and
good.
I was listening to our first time caller, short time listener. I was listening to some of your older episodes, and the excuse that Josh gave where he had to go to a bonfire two counties over. I decided to Google Paducah, Kentucky, and you guys have 120 counties in that small ass state. So two counties over looks like it's only like 15 fucking miles. So that seems like a pretty lame excuse to begin with. I have a question for you guys, because I'm kind of curious, because I'd like to have some like relation to whenever I'm eating food that I can relate it to you guys. Has anybody ever told you that your dick tastes like a certain kind of food? Because I would really like to enjoy some Tyler and David cuisine when I'm eating food to have it like recall in my memory of your guys' dick. If not, we can save this for a Madpog episode where your wives could tell us what your dick tastes like.
Meg won't. I can guarantee that right now.
Another one is you guys are still looking for a nickname for your girlfriend that you had back in high school. I think you said her name was a couple times without doing the coin noise. And I'm still in love with the word cunt goblin, so you should refer to her from here on out as cunt goblin. All right, guys. Drinking at 7:20 in the morning on a Wednesday when I work the next day is probably not a good idea, but you guys have fun, and I think that you guys should do the N64 list next.
Okay. Nate.
That was a good call.
Nate, thanks for calling, man.
Good call.
I love a long-time listener, first-time caller. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I'm not to discourage those who call regularly, but man, I really like hearing from listeners who have been with us from the early days, who are still with us, because that means that we're not completely making everyone run away. Mm-hmm. That was a good call. Probably going to need to throw a coin noise in there this time, huh?
Yep.
Because like when he said...
Thanks for making me have to edit this one.
When he said her name, your face, Tyler, your face just changed. Like it just like drooped.
Because this is going to be one of those episodes where you can just truncate silence and roll it. Yeah. Now I have to listen to it and get in there and get that.
You sound like an exterminator. So now I gotta crawl up in there.
Gotta get my suit on. Gotta get all my materials. Gotta crawl up under that bitch. Get my Mario coin. Smash it up in there. But very good call, Nate. Thank you.
Yes, it was.
I don't mind the work because that was a really good call.
He said he was from Utah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does Utah not have a lot of counties? Must not, huh?
Yeah, I guess not.
We do have a lot of counties.
We do.
I feel like the more eastern a state is, the more counties it has, right? Just because there are a lot more people. There's a lot. Yeah, it's longer.
I know, like, I think like Wyoming is just the one county or something like that.
Wow, that's nuts. Yeah, there's a lot of counties here, and our state isn't that small, man. It's short, but it's so long. It's so long. our state be pounding the cervix. That's awful. I don't even know why I said that. what do our dicks taste like?
Pecan waffle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten that before.
Really?
Yep.
I think that my dick must not taste good because no one has ever said, you know what your dick tastes like? Something. The last time I got a comment on what it tasted like, I'm not going to say who said it, but I'm pretty sure you can figure it out.
Josh.
Right. they, like my pronoun game, they said, did you just take a shower? Dick tastes like soap. So I'm going to go with soap. I had just taken a shower. So. I shower a lot. I feel like I shower to a degree that my body's incapable of holding a flavor.
That's fair. Right, that's a good last call. That's a good last call.
All right, that's fine. I doubt we're gonna. I mean, then all these other calls might be about how our other body parts taste.
We could take one more. If you want to.
That was a good one to end on, though.
Okay.
Right. That was a great call.
Because our next show is probably gonna be an all call show. So we'll get to all those.
No, we won't.
Nope.
No.
We'll get to some of those.
We will get to some of those. We have had that call was from earlier this month, and this is what we've got.
You guys are awesome.
Yep.
Did you know that? Do you know that, Tadpog Nation? You're fucking awesome.
Yep. We have over 30 to get through, and those are only the ones that I've starred. We probably have 40 goddamn calls that we're not going to be able to get through on our
That's
next
awesome.
Call show.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Keep them coming, please.
Please.
So I want to try and take a listener suggestion and do one every month.
Yeah,
call-in show every month.
That's a good idea.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. Since they have the big marketplace, we still really want those iTunes reviews, those 5-star written iTunes reviews.
God, they just
very important.
Oh, they feed our souls. They might make my dick taste like something if you give us enough of them.
Mm-hmm. Got 103 right now. The goal is I'd like to have as many for as many episodes as we have.
That's tough. Yeah. Because we produce content a lot.
We produce more episodes than we get reviews by a pretty large margin.
Yeah.
But still.
We're not bragging or nothing.
So we try to further incentivize you to give us a 5-star written review because if in that written review there's a game you want us to play, we're doing that list right now.
Yep.
And if there's a guest host you want for a show, let us know. Maybe at some point we might put up, once we get a schedule for what we do next, you'll know all those games are coming up. I might post a tentative list of the other days.
Idea.
But those are a lot more subject to change. Once we lock in a list, those won't change.
Right.
But Monday episodes are still up for grabs. So whatever you put on that, we promise that we will get to that eventually.
I'm so glad you mentioned SoundCloud because I wanted to announce that all our fucking episodes are up on SoundCloud now.
Yeah.
The SoundCloud February is over. If there are any episodes in our feed that are older than 50 episodes back, you can find them always on SoundCloud. We're also going to put our new episodes on SoundCloud too. So if you've been using it and you like it, feel free to listen there. I really like it. I like that you can comment on tracks. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't checked out SoundCloud yet, do. I know they've got an Android app. They've got an iOS app. I like it a lot. You might like it too.
We've set it to where if you're on a computer, you can download them.
Yeah.
And then I guess that if you wanted to put them on your phone like that. But SoundCloud, you can't download straight from SoundCloud to your phone.
To a mobile,
which I wish you could, but so far they're very much against that apparently. Like they've gotten links for you not to be able to do that. So maybe if you have a computer, you can download them, throw them in a Dropbox, put Dropbox on your phone, and then you can get old episodes to your phone like that pretty easily.
Yeah, I guess they do it. The only thing I can think of is that they would do it so they can keep track of how many plays there are. But to a certain track, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you can download it on your desktop.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it does have its limitations, but if that doesn't matter to you, if you just want to stream it, then,
You can also stream. That's
true.
You can
check it out. Cause it hurts for me to say, but like the streaming on SoundCloud works a lot better than the streaming on our site.
It does. Yeah.
A whole lot better. And that's just a limitation of my understanding of tit interwebs.
Tit interwebs.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about some shit. We're going to probably take some calls. We're going to talk to some people. It's going to be great. You'll love it. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. I don't know what kind of show notes we're going to have. Seems like it might be a light show notes episode.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bunch
of... I've got a few ideas written. I might have some filler in there, too.
Bunch of porn?
Yeah.
Okay.
if in doubt, put porn on in show notes.
So, go look at all the porn that our host probably really doesn't want us linking on there. We don't give a shit at this point. you can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally make an episode post, and that's a really good way of letting us know if you have any thoughts on that particular episode. You can find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize, but thank you for everybody who's retweeting, especially our episode posts, and generally just tweeting to us. I'm really starting to learn to love Twitter.
Our theme song, Dave?
It's Moves by Sycamore Drive. Mm-hmm. A link to that track, Tyler.
Can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
That's great.
Did we do our phone number?
We didn't.
Okay. I'll do it.
Okay.
If you want to call us or text us.
Yes.
Or send us a picture, you can do so at 270-883-2555.
Unless it's a dick pic.
Unless it's a dick pic.
Then send it directly to Nicole.
Yep. At El Cid Lazar.
Yeah. I do not want to be your dick pic clearinghouse. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. I refuse.
How do you close the show out?
Ooh, good question. Do you have any suggestions?
I'm trying to look over things that we've talked about. Do our best Jonathan Taylor Thomas impression.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Let me get in the mindset.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Which
of right.
His vast right. category of work,
yeah.
What JTT gym am I going for?
Oof.
I know, I got it.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
So until next time,
Tropical Capricorn! Who'd you do?
Randy Taylor.
Okay. I did Simba. I did baby Simba.
Oh, okay. It's pretty good.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was so good. So good. It's like we were in the room with
there were two.
It's like it was me and you in the room with a lion and 6-year-old Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Did you say 6-year-old?
Yeah. How old was he in the show?
He had to have been like at least 11, right?
11? All right, 11. Sure. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking the youngest brother no one
Mark,
cared about.
Mark. No one gave a shit about Mark. Like, even, I feel like on the show, on Home Improvement, like, Mark was essentially the Gary Gergich.
Yeah.
Of Parks and Rec. I mean, they were just like, fuck this kid. You play the what would I do? Like, what would I sacrifice?
Yeah.
To be with this porn star. You play that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That game, no one wins in that game.
Nope.
No one wins. I always feel like a really shitty person after I play that game. Because turns out when I have an erection, I mean, I'll give up a lot.